I want to preach this morning out of this first letter to the Colossians, and it says here that, brothers and sisters, you were once alienated and hostile in mind because of evil deeds, but now God has reconciled you. Now, I wonder, again, when we deal with, well, first of all, ourselves, but especially also the people that we serve in the parishes, I wonder if we... If our people are really aware of this sort of significance in their life of a text like this. As we read this letter to the Colossians, at the time it was written, most people were probably familiar most with adult conversion and adult baptism. Surely infants were baptized, but the ones to whom Paul is addressing are probably first generation Christians who came into the church, again, as adults. And they had lived a life very different from the life they were now called to live. And so again, there is this kind of perspective that we have to do a little bit of adjusting. Many, if not most of us, were probably born and baptized into the church as infants, or just born into the church, if you will, and baptized very early. And so our journey is a little bit different. But still, do we see and do we experience and do our people that we serve, sisters, do they understand and appreciate that we're supposed to be able to say, I once was at A and now I am at B? that we ought to be in touch with the fact that the Lord is rescuing us from, as he says here, a hostile mind and evil deeds. There is, I think, sometimes what I would call the tyranny of low expectations. Most people don't expect much of their relationship with Jesus. They kind of figure they're supposed to kind of hem and haw and get through life and just hope for the best. And instead of being alive and joyful and beginning to see sin be put to death and having a remarkable sense of major conversion in their life, as they really begin to come of age and become, if you will, more of an adult faith, that they leave behind a hostile mind and hostilities of their heart, and they begin to really love God and actually love their neighbor and experience remarkable conversion. Now that's the normal Christian life, to experience a tremendous influence of Jesus Christ completely changed my life. But I wonder how many people really expect much. Do they sort of maybe expect to be a little better? Or do they really expect remarkable conversion? And if they don't expect it, why not? And is it because priests and religious haven't really taught this? Now, I don't mean to say every priest, every religious, every community, or any of these things, but I'm just thinking corporately in the church. I don't really think most of the people in our pews on Sunday really expect a remarkable change. And yet, that is what Paul is talking about here. You were once alienated. That's a strong word. Hostile. That's a strong word. You know, to really be able to get in touch with where we are, you know, in terms of our relationship with Christ, sometimes allows us, hopefully those of us who've been at it a while, to be able to look back and say, I've come a long way. The old gospel hymn says, I'm not what I want to be, but I'm not what I used to be. You know, to be able to really say that, not just as a slogan or a quote from a song, but to be able to say, I used to be, but now, and I know what I need to be completely. I have a ways to go, but the Lord has brought me this far, and I have a story to tell. And my life is being changed because of Jesus Christ and because of the sacraments. He's ministering to me. He's changing my life. Can we testify to say, I was once alienated and hostile? You know, again, I was baptized as an infant, and I suppose as a little child I had a kind of an innocence of faith. I have very few really vivid memories from childhood. But I will say this, sisters, that one thing I do have a remembrance of as an early child is that I spoke to God very much, very intimately and very personally. And He spoke to me. No one needed to tell me that God existed. I heard Him every day. God spoke to me when I prayed. I would, and someone said, well, that's just a childlike thing. Well, no, to me, as I look back on that, it was very real. God was actually talking to me. I had the Sacred Heart statue in the room, and he spoke from there. And I don't mean that the lips moved. I don't mean it that way. But the Lord really spoke to me, and I had a very intimate relationship. And somewhere around the age of reason or thereabouts, that began to go away, and I began to feel hostile and alienated. And I had, like most people, had some family troubles going on. My parents were going through a tough patch, and we kids, you know, kids always pick up on that. We had some troubles, and we moved. We left our home in Chicago, and my daddy went to the Vietnam War, and he was away for a year, and I was scared. And then he came back, and you know, a lot of things were going on, and we had to move to Florida, and then we moved to D.C., and a lot of stuff. And my sister was mentally ill, and on it went. But anyway, the point is that for whatever reason, maybe those reasons, maybe just other things besides, I felt God kind of disappeared. And I'll have to say to you that I've kind of spent the rest of my life trying to get back to that intimacy that I had with God as a little child. And I think when I went through a period, you know, again, of teenage years where I was really hostile and wanted to grow my hair long and listen to acid rock and you know, hate my parents and hate everything and just you know, think that I knew everything. You know, typical of teenager stuff. But still, for me, I felt it was a pretty intense hostility. And so I can kind of get in touch with this idea of really being hostile. And I remember sometimes saying, you know, oh, stupid old white-haired men of the Vatican, what do they know? Tell me what to do. And, you know, kind of just, in other words, just rebellion. You know how it goes. And thank God I didn't spend a long time in what I would call deep rebellion, but the Lord really began to draw me back. And I know somebody must have been praying for me. I know my mother was praying. I know my grandmother was praying. You know, as I grew my hair long and I began to become kind of a crazy teenager, they prayed a lot. And eventually, again, I found my way back to the church and to God. And I don't want to bore you with all the details, but I just want you to know that I've come a long way. And then through my teenage and my high school and then college years, and not a long catalog here, but let's just say many of the typical moral failings of kids that age and kind of an anger of being told what to do and so on. And little by little, the Lord just rescuing me. I laugh with you a lot when I say it, you know, but my way back was a funny way. I mean, I joined the choir to meet girls, you know, the high school choir. I mean, it wasn't anything great. I didn't make some great spiritual conversion. I'm going to go back to church and join the choir and really, you know, clean up my act. It wasn't none of that. I wanted to meet girls. And it's all right. You know, I mean, that's how God got me, right? You know, there's something about beauty, right? Right? Beauty and truth, not too far apart. So again, there's a vision here that the Lord drew me in. And little by little, it was through the sacraments, you see, through the Word of God, through all of these things, just a kind of an ongoing medicine, that the Lord really made a change in my life. And, you know, I look back at those days and I see where I am today, and I think, wow, it's really remarkable what the Lord has done for me. You know, my mind and my heart are so fixed now on His truth, and I'm enthusiastic and zealous. You can't get me to shut up, you know, when it comes to preaching. And I just love God, and I love His Word. I love His truth. I love the church. Faults and all that we have as a church, but I love the Lord. And I don't love Him enough. I need to love Him more. I need to grow. There are so many things in my life that need to be, you know, attended to. But I'm not what I want to be, okay, but I'm not what I used to be. You see, a wonderful change has come over me. And so I'm a witness, and I hope you're a witness. As I bore you with my own story, I hope you have your story to tell. And I hope that you're able, with those that you work with in parishes and in the diocese and wherever you serve, that you're able to kind of share that story, you know? You know that old saying, not too much information sometimes, but enough to really share the fact that, you know, the Lord's done wonderful things in my life, you know. I wasn't born a saint, and I'm not a saint now. But in the end, I the Lord's just really worked in my life. And so again, God has now reconciled you, he goes on to say. He reconciled you through the fleshly body of Christ through his death. To make you holy and without blemish, irreproachable before. Now, I'm not there yet. I don't know about any of you. I'm not there yet. I'm not holy and irreproachable. But I will be. I know I will be one day. Because God has not brought me this far to just leave me. He has a plan for me and for you to make us completely holy without any stain or blemish. We always sing Immaculate Mary. Well, one day you'll be able to sing Immaculate Charlie. You know? Now, she was born that way and stayed there. But I'll get that way by God. The same grace. The same grace. Without stain, Charlie. That's me. You'll one day be able to greet me in heaven, you know? And if just pray that I stay faithful, you see. And if I do, God is always going to be faithful. And He has made a promise that when I'm done with you, you'll be perfect as the Heavenly Father's perfect. Without stain, without blemish, without any fault, irreproachable before God. Remarkable transformation that God wants to make. God once said to Catherine of Siena, if you were ever to see a soul in heaven in a state of grace, you'd think you'd fall down and worship because you think you were looking at God. I mean, see our dignity? We're to reflect perfectly one day the glory of God. A remarkable transformation is in store for us. And it doesn't wait till 5 minutes after we're dead. It's now. It begins now as we really begin to experience the power of God's grace working in our life. So, again, he goes on to simply say here, look, provided that you persevere in faith. We can't just think, well, I went to communion once and that's now I'm done with it. Day after day, week after week, year after year, reading the scripture. But I've read this one before. Again and again and again. Year after year, through the cycle. All through the cycle of the liturgical year. The sacraments, over and over again. One of my favorite gospels is there's a blind man and the Lord lays hands on him. He says, can you see now? He says, well, I see people, but they look like trees. You know, and God, and Jesus says, come here, and he lays hands on him again. Now what? Now I see clearly. You know, a little gospel in miniature. You know, the Lord has to keep laying hands on us. You know, I don't know about you, but I'm a tough case. You know, and God has to kind of keep working. You know, so in the end, this idea of persevering, being firmly grounded and stable. You know, just keep with the program. You know, we always want instant results in America, don't we? Just come on. Oh, it's not working. Stay with it. It takes years. Because I'm stubborn and I'm stiff-necked. And I got a hard heart. And a thick skull. It takes like water dripping on a rock 10,000 years to finally break a hole through that rock. Amen? You see, it's a constant, daily, stable, firmly grounded. And simply don't shift from the gospel that you've heard. As it's been preached to every creature under heaven. And I, Paul, am this minister. Well, I, Charles, am the minister. It's my job to get the people of God to know and understand this is what it's about. Okay? Maybe there are times we have biggie wow experiences, but for the most part, it's that stable, steady growth. And there is the... And then, of course, you sisters are also ministers of this because you go out and you teach. And you bring others to Christ. So we're to be ministers of this. This is what we're supposed to be announcing to the people of God. The good news that I'm not what I want to be, but I'm not what I used to be. And a wonderful change is available to us. We can be completely transformed. See? And for some people it really is a sudden, dramatic thing. For most of us it's that stable, steady, daily growth. But you know, you look back over the last 2 weeks, you don't notice any difference. The last 6 months, maybe not much. The last 2, 3, 4, 10, 15, 20 years, big difference. That's my story, and I hope it's yours too. If you've been faithful to God, faithful to prayer, faithful to the sacraments, I know you have a story to tell. And this is what we're asked to do. We're to be the minister of this. We're to be the ones who announce that Jesus Christ can completely change your life. Don't let people stay with low expectations. Let them have big expectations that their relationship with Jesus Christ should completely transform them. And they should be able to begin to experience that, not after they're dead, but right now in this life, here and now. Amen.